Hey you, I'm Emily Romrell, and I'm stoked to welcome you to the Vibrant Life Podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and practical tips to help us on the journey to our best lives. New episodes drop every Friday, and most clock in at a mere 15 to 20 minutes, just enough time to kickstart your weekend the right way. I'm all about living life to the fullest. I'm a proud member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and while my faith is part of the mix, this podcast is a great go-to no matter what you believe. I'm all about inclusivity and embracing our shared human experience. Keep listening and let's rock this adventure together, because life is an adventure. Let's go. You are listening to the Vibrant Life Podcast, episode 84. Hey, it could happen.
The Vibrant Life.
Hey you, welcome to the Vibrant Life Podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith, personal development, and the enchantment that unfolds when we dare to dream. Today's episode, Hey, It Could Happen, draws inspiration from the 90s classic, Angels in the Outfield. And if you're a 90s kid like me, you might have a nostalgic grin right now. So get ready for a treat. Growing up, this movie was a staple in my house, blending baseball, heartfelt drama, and a touch of magic. It's a timeless tale that resonates with audiences of all ages, and it teaches a few profound lessons all about faith and optimism. But before we jump into the wonder of Angels in the Outfield, let's talk about some fantastic tools to level up your Vibrant Life journey. Have you picked up the Vibrant Life Goal Planner yet? It's not your ordinary planner, it's a game changer for turning dreams into achievable goals, and goals into remarkable achievements. And if you're seeking poetic inspiration, you can also explore my collection, Poems. Both books are on Amazon right now, so check them out. Here's the thing, peeps, I need your help to keep the Vibrant Life community thriving. So if you find value in the podcast, hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and share your thoughts in the comments. Your feedback fuels our journey together, so let's spread the ripple effect of goodness. Alrighty, let's get into the topic slash mantra today of, hey, it could happen. But remember, your support keeps this vibrant ship sailing, so let's make it happen. To set the stage, let's recap the movie Angels in the Outfield. It came out in 1994, which, phew, I can't believe that's over 40 or just about 20 years ago. But this movie follows Roger and his best friend JP as they navigate life within the foster care system. Roger's heartfelt wish to reunite with his father hinges on the Angels baseball team winning the pennant, which is a seemingly impossible feat for the last place team. Roger's prayers are answered when real Angels start helping the team win their games, leading to an extraordinary turnaround in the season. However, only Roger can see the Angels, so he gives tips to the manager on who to put in the game, etc. And along the way, JP, Roger's best friend, continually believes that good things are coming, and he has the catchphrase of the day, "Hey, it could happen." He's such a cute kid, really. And JP's optimistic mantra becomes a central theme in the film, encouraging everyone to believe in the possibility of positive change and unexpected miracles. I wish everyone could have a friend and a sidekick like JP. I could definitely use one. In Angels in the Outfield, the presence of actual angels intervening on the baseball field adds magic and wonder to the story, but it also serves a deeper purpose. These angelic interventions, they symbolize the power of prayer, of positive thinking, belief, and determination to achieve success. And it showcases that we have more help than we realize, both from earthly angels and from those on the other side. In the beginning, the baseball players are in a state of disarray, both individually and as a unit, and they struggle with self-doubt, lack of confidence, and a general sense of hopelessness. Their performance on the field reflects this, as they consistently lose and fail to live up to their potential. This is exacerbated by Coach Knox, who doesn't believe in the team and is angry and critical. However, a shift occurs within the team as the real angels help the players with miraculous plays and turn the tide of the games in their favor. The players start to realize the impact of their mindset on their performance. They witness firsthand how belief in themselves and their abilities leads to positive outcomes. As the story progresses, the players shed their self-doubt and embrace a sense of confidence. They learn to trust in themselves and each other, understanding that success on the field requires not only individual skill, but also teamwork and mutual support. As the players grow and develop throughout the film, they start playing better even without the assistance of the Angels. And this highlights the idea that true personal development ultimately comes from within. By believing in themselves and working together as a team, the players achieve success in their own merits. So that's one of the big turnarounds in the movie, and I really love that. I know this is a movie, but I sincerely think this is often how Heavenly Father works. He gives us the help we need until we become more capable, and He enables us to do things ourselves. Another definition of grace is enabling power, which I really love. Heavenly Father is always helping us. It's a continual process, but most often He gives us the capacity to do the work rather than simply removing obstacles from our path. Life is all about becoming. As President Howard W. Hunter said in his talk, The Opening and Closing of Doors, in April 1987, Our Heavenly Father, who gives us so much to delight in, also knows that we learn and grow and become stronger as we face and survive the trials through which we must pass. We know that there are times when we will experience heartbreaking sorrow, when we will grieve, and when we may be tested to our limits. However, such difficulties allow us to change for the better, to rebuild our lives in the way our Heavenly Father teaches us, and to become something different from what we were, better than we were, more understanding than we were, more empathetic than we were, with stronger testimonies than we had before. I've got a soft spot for JP because he's the ultimate friend. Instead of getting jealous or bitter watching Roger's life unfold, he cheers him on. And let's talk about JP's backstory. We get hints about his tough life, like living in a car with his mom and having such a bad experience that he's sworn off riding in cars altogether. Plus, he's dealing with the loss of his dad. But instead of letting it drag him down, he imagined his dad and Roger's mom hanging out in heaven. Talk about resilience. And through it all, JP keeps that infectious optimism alive. Remember his go-to line? Hey, it could happen. Transitioning from JP's journey, let's talk about Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking to explore further insights to the impact of optimism. This is a great book, and you should definitely check it out. Peale's words echo with wisdom as he emphasizes the importance of self-belief and confidence, stating, Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. This is the truth, my friends. It's taken me longer than I want to admit to love myself, but I'm getting there. And I know that it's impossible to achieve true joy or success if you don't have faith in yourself. You have to believe your endeavors will work out. That's a big percentage of the equation. I discovered a brief article by Norman Vincent Peale online offering 4 tips on positive thinking, with corresponding examples provided by Peale for each point. And I really like it. The first one is, to every disadvantage, there is usually a corresponding advantage. Consider the old truism that behind the darkest clouds, the sun is shining. In the toughest situations, there is always some value that is inherently good. The positive thinker will look for the good, for the advantage, and will therefore do far better with the difficulty than the negative thinker will. What you deeply think about and visualize has a strong tendency to happen, so always think positively, believingly, expectantly, hopefully. The second point is, it isn't what is happening, but your attitude toward what is happening. Two men of equal intelligence are facing a hard task. The first man says, This is an overwhelming difficulty, more than I can handle. So he's defeated from the start. The other man says, This is a tough situation, but with God's help, I can handle it. And he proceeds to do so successfully. It is the attitude toward the situation that is crucial, more so than the situation itself. 3 is, develop a positive mental attitude toward the bottom. I've often had to deal with glum and discouraged people who have said, I've hit bottom and there's no hope. To one such man, I replied, "Congratulations. Having hit bottom, you can go no lower. The only direction is up. So start thinking up." He did. And after a time, new ideas came that helped him to move up well above the bottom. And number four, put thoughts of God up against your trouble. A friend of mine at 84 had her leg amputated. Even so, she does all her housework from a wheelchair. When asked if she ever becomes discouraged, she answered, "Certainly I do." Then I asked, "What do you do when you get discouraged?" She replied, "What is there to do but get over it? I simply take the attitude that, with the Lord helping me, I can sweep all the dark shadows from my mind as I do the dust in my house." That's the end of the words from Peel, and I love them so much. The picture of life you enjoy is determined by how you frame it. And when you expect good things to happen, they do. And this leads to the final thoughts I have today. I want to mention neuroplasticity. And it's a little sciencey, but it's really cool. It's a concept that celebrates the boundless potential of our brains to adapt and evolve in response to our thoughts and experiences. And I learned a lot about this from the teachings of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is a pretty big authority in neuroscience and personal transformation. Some people kind of think it's woo-woo or whatever, but it's really cool if you look into it. In his book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, he says, "Your thoughts and feelings come from your past memories. If you feel and think a certain way, you begin to create an attitude. An attitude is a cycle of short-term thoughts and feelings experienced over and over again." Dr. Dispenza unravels the intricate mechanisms by which our thoughts sculpt our brain chemistry, thereby shaping our behavior and outcomes. Dr. Joe Dispenza's insights into neuroplasticity offer a compelling illustration of how our mental landscape influences our reality. Consider the example of someone aiming to overcome anxiety. Through consistent practice of mindfulness and positive affirmations, they gradually rewire their neural pathways, fostering a more optimistic outlook. As they persist in this mental reprogramming, their brain begins to produce fewer stress hormones and more feel-good neurotransmitters like serotonin. Over time, this shift in brain chemistry manifests in tangible changes. They may find themselves calmer in stressful situations, more resilient in the face of setbacks, and overall happier in their daily lives. And the big takeaway, I think, from this is that transformation isn't merely psychological. It's a deeply rooted thing in the physical structure of the brain. Neuroplasticity allows for the creation of new neural connections and the pruning of old ones, essentially remodeling the brain's architecture based on our mental habits and experiences. So, by consciously cultivating thoughts of positivity and possibility, we sculpt our brains to support a more fulfilling and joyful existence and experience. In essence, the concept of neuroplasticity underscores the incredible power that we wield over our own lives. By harnessing the synergy between our thoughts, emotions, and brain chemistry, we can actively shape our reality and cultivate a life filled with abundance, resilience, and fulfillment. It's really cool, and we have more power than we think we do. Wrapping up, it's clear that our mindset plays a pivotal role in shaping our reality. And whether we're talking about Roger and JP and Angels in the Outfield, or Norman Vincent Peale or Joe Dispenza, we've uncovered significant insights into faith, belief, and resilience. And just like the characters in the movie, we're all faced with challenges and obstacles in life. But as we embrace a mindset of optimism and possibility, we open ourselves up to a world of miracles and unexpected blessings. Whether it's finding the silver lining in adversity, maintaining a positive attitude in the face of difficulty, or actively reshaping our brain through neuroplasticity, we have the power to create the vibrant life we desire. Let's remember the wisdom shared today, that belief in ourselves, coupled with the support both of earthly and heavenly allies, can lead us to extraordinary heights. Thanks for joining me today, peeps. Remember to subscribe and leave a review and share the Vibrant Life podcast with your loved ones. And always remember, hey, it could happen. Until next time, stay hopeful and keep dreaming and live the vibrant life.
hey you, please share the love and click subscribe if this is a podcast that's been helpful to you. Your support means the world and helps me spread positive messages even further. Check out my site, emilyromerell.com, for even more fantastic content. Oh, and let's talk about some game changers. My books, The Vibrant Life Goal Planner, and Poems are your secret sauce for goal smashing and soul soothing. Thanks for being a part of this journey with me. Let's keep creating the vibrant life together.